You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we are going to try and finish our discussion on Isaiah chapter 42. And we've got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. Now, as you recall, the chapter opens up with these words: "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Now, throughout this passage, as we have been talking, this is a passage teaching us about Christ, the one who is the image, the visible image of the invisible God, which of course is in contrast to all the false idols, the false images of the previous chapter, the false ways to approach God. Christ alone is the true way to the Father. Apart from him, no one can come to the Father. And as we've been discussing this chapter, we have been talking about the blinding of the devil, the spiritual oppression and slavery, the deception, the darkness, and the doctrines of demons. So that in verse 16, we hear the words, "I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground, and these are the things I do not forsake them." Now, as we had said before, this comes on the heels of the previous verse, which talks about drying up the vegetation, drying up the rivers and the pools. That's the imagery of the Exodus, the mighty one. The Yahweh is a man of war. He will lead the captives out of captivity. He will defeat the kingdoms of the earth that are in league of the dominion of darkness of the devil. That the devil himself is the one who is trying to prevent God's kingdom from coming, and his is a domain of deception. Now, we see this in the New Testament in Paul's second letter to the baptized in Corinth, in chapter 4, in which Paul writes, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now again, we have this connection between what Isaiah the prophet is saying and Paul the apostle, that they are singing the same song, that the Christ is the one who will lead us out of darkness. He will open blind eyes to see, to walk in paths that they have not known, that he will turn their darkness into light. And this is the spreading of the gospel when it goes out to the nations. Remember, the whole chapter opens up that he, the servant, the Christ, is the one who will bring justice to the nations. Now, Cyril of Alexandria, when he's commenting on this passage, he notices that this is the dispersing of the darkness of the devil's deceit. And he goes on to explain that this is those who are being called through faith. The conversion of the Gentiles is being depicted for us. And when we talk about the conversion of the Gentiles and the coming kingdom of Christ, this is where we can see most clearly the work that God comes to do. He comes to take those who are by nature his enemies and to defeat them and then to liberate them. Because remember, we are all born enemies of God. We are all part of this fallen creation, and we have been duped by the devil. But it is the light of the gospel that goes into the darkness in order to enlighten us. The Holy Spirit is given so that we have eyes that can see the truth and ears that can hear the voice of God. So that in this imagery of light and darkness, we understand this very clearly. We even understand the idea of the rough places becoming level ground. Now, again, this is the mountains and the hills that will be brought low, and you will have the rough places made into level ground. Echoing the same words of Isaiah chapter 40 in the teaching of John the Baptizer, that every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Or back in Isaiah chapter 26, the path of righteousness is level, and you make level the way of the righteous. So this is God acting. This is God who is delivering. This is God who is making a way in the desert, drying up the false spiritual waters of the spiritual deception of demons, and then making a path in the dry ground to lead into the way of truth. Going back to Isaiah chapter 42, we pick up at verse 17. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, those who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." And we're talking about false prophets promoting false gods. Of course, this is the contrast to what was taking place in Isaiah chapter 40. "Go up onto a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up. Fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." So we have the true preaching, the apostolic message going out proclaiming Christ, saying, "Behold your God," as we have in this chapter, "Behold my servant," versus the false gods, the false teaching, the doctrines of demons that say, "These are your gods." Of course, this is the echo of what took place in Exodus chapter 32. If you recall, Moses was up on the top of Mount Sinai. God was appearing to Moses, the second person of the Blessed Holy Trinity. While Moses is up on Mount Sinai receiving the institutional sacrificial ritual of God, the one in which God gave the promise of the forgiveness of sins, down at the bottom of the mountain, Aaron was trying to be innovative and creative and making a form of worship in the style of his contemporaries. Now remember, back in Exodus chapter 32, verse 8, "They have all turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them," God says. "They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" When we look at this passage, we understand that Aaron himself was the one who was leading this man-made form of worship, this type of access to God that came from the imagination of his own fallen heart. And this is what all idolatry is it is a man-made delusion, trying to imagine a way in which one can approach God and can receive the forgiveness of sins and God's favor. But without God's word, without God's institution, without God's promise, there is no such thing. This is not true worship, for true worship is done in faith in the promise of God. Without the promise, there is no faith, and this is not true worship. And this is the situation that Isaiah is trying to correct, but it's the situation that the prophets have all been trying to correct. They've been trying to convert men's hearts from their corrupted state of trying to make their own way to God. And the prophets are sent in order to open eyes to see this situation, to open their ears to hear and to heed what God himself says. So picking up once again in Isaiah chapter 42 at verse 18, "Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, so that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of Yahweh? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear." And so in this passage, we are told about the blind and the deaf. They do not see and they do not hear. They do not see the true God and the vision that he has made known through his prophet, and they do not hear his word that is spoken clearly through the prophet's mouth. Now, this is how the whole book of Isaiah opened up. It's the vision of Isaiah against Jerusalem. And Isaiah talks and he says, "The ox knows his owner, the donkey his master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." Now, why don't they understand? Because the God of this world, that is the devil, he has blinded them. They have fallen into his deception and darkness. They are like a blind servant and a deaf messenger. So notice how this chapter makes a contrast between unfaithful Israel, the unfaithful servant, and Christ, the true Israel. Israel reduced down to one who alone is the faithful servant. He alone is the one in whom the Father is well pleased. So the contrast is to Christ, the one that we are to behold, the one who we are to listen to, the one that Moses told us about, the one like Moses that we are to listen to. Now, back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses wrote the old song that they were to sing, saying, "But Jeshurun," that is, the people of God, "grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth." So back in Deuteronomy 32, that was the old song, the song in which the people of God sang about their sin. But later on in Isaiah chapter 44, based on the foundation of 42, of this servant, the servant's song, the people will begin to sing a new song. And you'll see this in chapter 42, in which you have, "Thus says Yahweh, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Because of Christ, the faithful servant, those who are in Christ are a new creation. Now they can be declared Jeshurun, that is, the upright one. They are declared righteous because Christ is their righteousness. In Isaiah 44, the prophet writes and continues and speaks the word of God from his mouth, declaring, "I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessings upon your descendants." Now notice that contrast between chapter 42 and chapter 44. In 42, we are told about how this false theology, this false spirituality that is watering a false sense of security in humanity will flow no more. God promises to dry up this teaching. But then in chapter 44, we are told that he will then pour water onto the thirsty ground when he pours out his spirit upon your offspring. That, of course, is the offspring of the faithful servant Christ himself. That true theology, true spirituality will flow forth from the apostolic teaching, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. This river will flow from the throne of God. Now, going back to chapter 42 and picking up at verse 21, we read, "Yahweh was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his Torah and make it glorious." Now again, we're talking about the contrast between the two servants. One servant who is in need of rescue, the unfaithful servant Israel, and the other servant who is the one who comes to redeem and to save. "And for his righteousness' sake, that in Yahweh all the offspring of Israel shall be justified," that is, declared righteous. "And this is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is from me, declares Yahweh." So declaring his Torah is magnifying it, making it great. Just like Isaiah had foretold back in chapter 2, "Out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The true proclamation of God's saving word, which exposes sin, uncovers the darkness, and reveals salvation, brings into the light. That was the invitation back in Isaiah chapter 2. Walk in the light. Picking up again at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22. "But this is a people plundered and looted. They are all of them trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They have become plunder with none to rescue, spoil with none to say, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Will attend and listen for the time to come?" Now the Lord is teaching us about his alien work. That is the work of the law that brings destruction, devastation, in order to wound and kill. But that's the alien work. The alien work lays the foundation. It takes down mountains. It raises up valleys. It levels the ground and prepares it for the proper work, which is to heal and to give life. The preaching of the promises fulfilled in Christ. The goal of the prophet's message is to bring the people to their senses, to wake them up, to open their eyes so that they can see the truth, to open their ears so that they can hear the promise. After being in exile for 70 years, they are ready to hear about the Deliverer, one who will rescue and restore. Now they're ready to listen to God's proper work of healing and giving life. We continue at verse 24. Who gave up Jacob to the looter and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not Yahweh? Against whom we have sinned, in whose ways they would not walk, and whose Torah they would not obey. Now again, these are rhetorical questions. It's not like God doesn't know the answer, the prophet doesn't know the answer. It is God who has directed his wrath against his unfaithful servant. They would not listen. They preferred the darkness to light. So God handed them over to the desires of their heart. He sent the kingdoms of the earth to punish them. They wanted earthly kingdoms. He gave them earthly kingdoms. They did not want the true God. He gave them false gods, so that they would sit in their sin in the slavery and captivity that they desired so much. Now notice the humility that God is trying to teach his people in this passage. So that the prophet Isaiah is speaking, the one who speaks the word of God to the people, but at the same time speaks the people's confession of sin back to God. So that the prophet says, was it not Yahweh against whom we have sinned? Here the prophet is teaching us about corporate confession, that as the community of God, we have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. So when we gather as God's people to hear God's voice, we proclaim that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, in what we're thinking, in what we're saying, in what we're doing, that by nature we are unclean. By nature we are sinful and even enemies of God. That by nature we are tempted to go into the darkness because we prefer it over the light. So here the Holy Spirit is teaching us this humility, that when we approach God to hear his word, that we would confess our sin to him as his people. So here in Isaiah chapter 42, we are taught that the prophet is one who is going to mediate, one who will stand between God's wrath and the people's sin. In this way, we understand the office of the prophet as one who depicts the mystery of the incarnation. So that as the prophet stands before the people and is the way in which the people can hear the clear voice of God, and in which God will hear the petitions of his people, the pleas for mercy, that we'll see that this is the proper work of Christ, the one mediator between God and man, the one who comes to rescue, to restore, and to reconcile. Now, this chapter of Isaiah is given to the people of God as a gift so that they could cling to it. The righteous remnant would then hear, heed the word of the Lord, and believe, that they would see exactly what Isaiah had shown them. Now, we will see this example in the prophet Daniel, who also holds the prophetic office during the Babylonian captivity. And in Daniel chapter 9, we have his words, I prayed to Yahweh, my God, and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules, "We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Now notice the prophet Daniel is teaching us to make a distinction between the person and works of God, that God is faithful, he keeps his covenant and his steadfast love, and the people who rebel and refuse to listen to God's word. After the Babylonian captivity, we will see this in the prophetic office that Ezra holds, in which he says, "My God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. From the days of our fathers to this day, we have been in great guilt. And for our iniquities, we, our kings, and our priests have been given into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plundering, and to utter shame as it is today." Now that's from Ezra chapter 9. This, of course, is after the captivity in Babylon. This, of course, is after the return from exile under Cyrus in the Persian Empire. But notice again that level of humility, that we approach God confessing our sin. Or likewise, you will see this in Nehemiah in the same fashion, saying that its rich yield goes to the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They rule over our bodies and over our livestock as they please, and we are in great distress. Again, notice that this prophet here is teaching us as a community to gather before God's presence, confessing our sins, preparing our hearts to hear his word. Isaiah ends this chapter on this note. "So therefore he poured on him the heat of his anger and the might of battle. It set him on fire all around, but he did not understand. It burned him up, but he did not take it to heart." Of course, he's referring to unfaithful Israel. He didn't understand. He did not take it to heart. He won't get it until afterward, during the days of Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah. But this is the opening verses. Now remember, this is precisely how Isaiah opened up his book, declaring, "To the heavens, hear and give ear, and to the earth, listen up, for Yahweh has spoken. Children I have reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me." And so, therefore, Isaiah ends chapter 42 on the note that he poured out on him the heat of his anger and the might of his battle and fire all around. This is all the alien work of God preparing the way for the proper work of God. For the very next chapter, we'll open up with the big but. "But now thus says Yahweh, he who created you, Jacob, and he who formed you, Israel, you must not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Isaiah is sent to a people who are blind and deaf so that they would see the vision of the Christ and hear the promise and believe.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.